When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All the woman wanted was to look normal. When Suzanne, a pseudonym, was a little girl in Canada, her nose got crushed in a car accident. She grew up with scars and dents on her nose that left her horribly self-conscious. She felt that she never fit in. Around age 18, she started using drugs and eventually began stealing to support her addiction. She ended up in prison in the 1950s near Vancouver. She made the most of her time there. She entered drug counseling. She took classes on typing and English grammar. But however useful, these services could not fix her main source of distress, her scarred nose. One day, however, the woman heard about a doctor at the prison, a plastic surgeon who was operating on inmates' faces for free. His name was Edward Lewison, and he had some unorthodox ideas about crime. Namely, that scars and facial deformities marked people as social outcasts, and that this rejection then drove people into crime. As you can imagine, Lewison's ideas proved controversial, both within medicine and society at large. He was challenging accepted ideas about human nature, morality, and justice. And partly because of those controversies, Lewison's work has all but disappeared from history. But the thing is, even today, no one knows whether Lewison was right. Like it or not, conventionally attractive people do have big advantages over the rest of us schlubs. As wild as it seems, Lewison might have been correct in declaring that the fastest way to fix some criminals is to fix their faces. From the Science History Institute, this is Sam Keen and the Disappearing Spoon, a topsy-turvy, science-y history podcast, where footnotes become the real story. Edward Lewison grew up in Toronto and became a doctor in the 1930s. He served as a military physician overseas during World War II, then settled in Vancouver to do plastic surgery. In 1953, he started providing free medical care at a prison in Vancouver named Ocala. The prison sat near a lovely lake with deer, but it had a reputation as crowded and dirty. It's not clear when the idea first occurred to Lewison, but he noticed a lot of facial anomalies among the inmates at Ocala. Broken noses, scars, gnarled teeth, deformed ears, things like that. And at some point, Lewison decided that perhaps those features could have driven people into crime. Theories linking people's looks and criminal behavior were not new. A century before, an Italian doctor and eugenicist named Cesare Lombroso promoted the idea that certain features marked people as criminals. Jutting jaws, sloping foreheads, big ears. He believed those features revealed a reversion to a savage, ape-like ancestor with no impulse control. Lombroso even boasted that he could pick criminals out from photographs alone. Lombroso's theories had been debunked by the 1950s, but their influence lingered on in Lewiston's idea that facial defects could push people into crime, especially defects in children. His thinking was this: if a child has scars or other deformities, that might make them a social outcast. Kids can be cruel. In Lewiston's words, these outcast children would be barred from the normal community of man. They might then use crime as a way of getting even with society. Lewiston admitted that this idea had sort of a fairy tale logic to it. After all, the villains in fairy tales are usually scarred and ugly. But he argued that his intervention could work, so he began performing plastic surgery at Ocala. Frankly, Lewiston's commitment seemed a bit lackadaisical at first. He'd wander in a few mornings per week, do some nose jobs, and then take the afternoon off to play golf. But he soon noticed striking changes in his patients, like Suzanne, the woman whose nose got crushed in a car accident and then began abusing drugs. According to Lewiston, after her nose job, Suzanne became much sunnier and got along better with guards. After being released from prison, she reunited with her husband and settled down to a stable life, without drugs or crime. As Lewiston said, she regarded the operation as a significant step toward becoming socially acceptable. Lewiston was so impressed with this and other cases that he designed a formal scientific study. He wanted to determine whether plastic surgery could lower rates of recidivism and keep people out of prison after their release. He ended up performing 450 operations over 10 years. Mostly nose jobs, but he also reconstructed ears, removed scars, and rebuilt crooked jaws. He wrote up his results in a 1965 paper. It began with a quote from Shakespeare's Richard III.
"That I'm curtailed of this fair proportion, cheated of feature by dissembling nature, deformed, unfinished, sent before my time into this breathing world, scarce half made up, and that so lamely and unfashionable that dogs bark at me as I halt by them. And therefore, since I cannot prove a lover to entertain these fair, well-spoken days, I am determined to prove a villain."
It was ominous stuff. But then Lewiston revealed his results. 42% of his 450 patients eventually got arrested again after their release and returned to prison. In contrast, 75% of former inmates overall returned to prison after their release, a difference of 33 percentage points. The experiment seemed like a huge success, at least on the surface. In the paper, Lewiston admitted finding a disturbing trend. Some patients were emboldened by their newly handsome faces. After being released, they gave up violent crimes like robberies and became scam artists. Perhaps their newly handsome faces made people trust them more, and they took full advantage. There were also other, more fundamental problems with Lewiston's study. First, in comparing how often his patients returned to prison, he used the general prison population as a control group. But that population differed from his patient group in key ways. Most importantly, Lewiston operated only on those people who'd committed five or fewer crimes, since he thought that they would benefit more. In other words, he left out the people who had committed the most crimes and were therefore more likely to end up in prison again later. Second, Lewiston did not select his patients randomly. They sought him out and had to ask for the surgery. In doing so, they showed initiative and motivation, two traits that can help people turn their lives around and avoid falling back into crime. Third, Lewiston did not control for psychological factors. Sadly, many inmates at Ocala had grown up in dysfunctional homes. Many were also poor and could not afford medical services. Some had probably seen a doctor only a few times in their entire lives. Then, suddenly, a prominent surgeon began treating them for free. Lewiston was listening to their stories, offering them medical advice. This was an act of real kindness in lives that had seen far too little kindness. Lewiston's attention alone, showing that he cared, might have motivated his patients to change their lives all by itself. Related to that, some of his patients probably felt grateful afterward and wanted to pay the kindness forward. This could make them better members of society and help them avoid committing crimes. Their new faces might have been only incidental. Finally, in addition to seeking surgery, some patients in the prison were educating themselves and improving their lives in other ways. Remember, the young woman whose nose got smashed up was taking classes on typing and grammar, things that would help her get a job later. She also entered drug counseling. So was it really the surgery that changed her life, or those social services? Overall, these flaws seriously undermined Lewison's study. They made it impossible to conclude whether plastic surgery per se kept people out of prison. His patients might have been less likely to relapse anyway, and the counseling and simple human kindness they received might have played a bigger role. To address these problems, another similar study began in New York in 1966. This one used much stronger experimental methods. In this case, a trio of doctors randomly screened 1,400 inmates at Sing Sing Prison. They selected 663 for surgery and divided them into four groups. The first group received only plastic surgery. The second received only social services like vocational training and counseling. The third received both surgery and social services. The last received nothing at all as a control group. Within each group, the doctors also sorted patients into those who had abused drugs and those who had not for an additional variable. Unfortunately, the results of this experiment were messy. I don't want to bombard you with too many numbers, but consider a few results. Among drug users, those receiving both surgery and social services ended up back in prison at a rate of 50%. Those receiving only social services were locked up again at a rate of 48%. Given how close those numbers were, 50 versus 48, that suggests the surgeries did not do much. Except among non-drug users, things were different. Those who received only surgery ended up back in prison at a rate of 30%. Those who received social services alone went back at a rate of 89%, which does not make a ton of sense. Surgery did nothing for non-drug users, but somehow really helped people who used drugs? And why would counseling make people not struggling with addiction more likely to wind up back in prison? Plus, even this study could not eliminate all the confounding psychological factors. For instance, consider those who were enrolled in the study and got their hopes up for surgery. Then the doctors show up and tell them they're getting only social services, or nothing at all. That would make me pretty angry. Yet another rejection in life. And that anger could cause them to lash out at society and revert to crime to ease their pain. Overall, it's hard to know what to make of these studies. In fact, given the messy numbers and all the confounding factors, it's tempting to throw your hands up, to say that there's no real effect there, and that any seemingly positive effects are due to random chance. Except for one thing. The mountain of evidence saying that being considered good-looking really does give you a big boost in life.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The life boost you get for being considered good-looking is sometimes called the beauty premium. It starts young. In preschool, adorable toddlers receive more attention from teachers. This carries over into elementary and high school. There, teachers rate children and teens they see as cute as smarter and more popular. After graduation, the benefits only grow. The beautiful ones earn higher salaries and more tips. They also receive more promotions and job opportunities. The beauty premium affects the criminal justice system, too. Attractive folks are less likely to be arrested. They get fined less for minor offenses and receive shorter prison sentences for big offenses. They also have an easier time finding jobs after prison. Now, attractiveness is obviously subjective. Different people find different things attractive. But society and culture can embed certain shared ideals. Media portrayals especially can influence whether we find people of certain ages or shapes or ethnicities more or less attractive. It's biased and it's not fair. But fair or not, the beauty premium does exist, as many studies have shown. All of which would seem to support Edward Lewison's theory. Give people a new, more attractive face, and they should have an easier time in life and stay out of trouble with the law. Because of the beauty premium, doctors kept studying the effects of plastic surgery on prison inmates even after the inconclusive Vancouver and New York studies. New experiments were launched in Texas, Illinois, Virginia, and England in the 1960s and 1970s. Thousands more inmates received surgery. Again, most got work done on their noses, ears, or teeth. But surgeons also removed pockmarks, cinched up saggy jowls, and liposucked away love handles. These programs proved wildly popular. Some people actually refused parole to stick around and get work done. Enthusiasm ran high among doctors as well. One even suggested that plastic surgeons should be advising judges at sentencing hearings, especially with teenagers. The doctor wanted surgeons to study the faces of the newly convicted and determine who would benefit most from surgery. Those lucky few would then be sent to hospitals instead of juvenile detention centers. Again, however, scary stories emerged from these studies. One man in Ontario hated his new nose for some reason. After being released from prison, he threatened to murder the surgeon. The terrified surgeon took to wearing a bulletproof vest around. These new studies also ran into some dicey ethical issues. For instance, Virginia had young surgical residents practice on prison populations. They essentially let rookie doctors make mistakes on vulnerable people. Problems continued with the methodology as well. Some prisons used the surgeries as bribes for good behavior. But those who exhibited good behavior were obviously more likely to stay out of prison later anyway. Other critics raised deeper points. Consider a typical-looking adolescent who, for whatever reason, gets involved in crime. In doing so, he might put himself in violent situations, situations that can produce scars, broken noses, and other defects. In that case, the physical defects weren't causing the crimes. The crimes were causing the physical defects. So what good would surgery do? Overall, 9 formal studies have examined how well plastic surgery could keep formerly incarcerated persons out of jail. There were also several informal studies, including a wild one at San Quentin Prison in California. I've actually written a bonus episode about this at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. The head doctor at San Quentin had 0 surgical training, but that did not stop him. He rebuilt noses using parts from toothbrushes and other daily objects. He also performed testicle transplants, and much worse. All that and more at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. But to stick with the 9 formal studies, 6 found that plastic surgery did lower the rates of returning to jail after prison. 2 found no effect. And in 1 study, those who received surgery returned to prison at higher rates. Given those mixed results, Lewison's ideas had fallen out of favor by the 1980s. Society was also changing then. A law and order mentality swept over North America. Prisons became places not to rehabilitate people, but to punish them. Everyday people began objecting to the surgeries as well. Why should scofflaws get expensive surgery for free, while law-abiding citizens paid through the nose? Other people made moral objections. They saw self-improvement in terms of discipline and hard work, even suffering. So to them, plastic surgery was cheating. You can't take shortcuts to build character. Surprisingly, however, the pendulum has started swinging back in Lewison's direction. Why? Partly because the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world. Prisons are bursting at the seams, and the criminal justice system needs to figure out how to reintegrate convicts back into society. Maybe surgery could help some. Prisons are also growing expensive. In New York City, it costs more than $500,000 every year to incarcerate one person. Even if the state started paying surgeons $100,000 per operation, that seems like a fiscal bargain to keep someone out of jail. As a result, nonprofits have sprung up in several states to help former inmates pay for reconstructive surgery and remove facial tattoos. More could arise soon. We may never know for sure whether Edward Lewison was right with his fairy tale idea that making someone more beautiful will transform their inner life too. But fairy tales resonate because they touch something deep inside us. Inside prison or out, we cannot escape the power of beauty. This is the Disappearing Spoon podcast, brought to you by the Science History Institute. Be sure to check out their in-depth science history podcast, Distillations. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts or on their website, distillations.org. You can find more incredible stories in my books or at samkeen.com. You can also book me as a speaker there for your school or event. If you like this podcast, please spread the word and support it at patreon.com/disappearingspoon. You can also get bonus episodes and signed books at Patreon. This episode was written by me, Sam Keen. It was produced by Mariel Carr, Rigoberto Hernandez, and Sarah Kaplan. Our sound design, scoring, and mixing is by Row Home Productions. Row Home's creative director is Alex Lewis. John Myers is Row Home's executive producer. Thanks for listening.
Row Home Productions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.